The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. God's kind of love is not easily provoked and does not rejoice in sin. True love endures. That kind of love is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, including the tragic death of her husband Jim at the hands of a fierce Indian tribe decades ago. But her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot to share some of the lessons she's learned in her lifelong study of God's Word.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about some of those questions that are asked of me most often. Today it's the question of forgiveness. I get very many letters about the pain caused because of a spouse's earlier promiscuity. How to forgive one's spouse for coming to the marriage bed already used, spoiled. The pain caused by adultery during a marriage. Letters asking me, how can I forgive myself? And the question, am I no longer a virgin if I've been raped? Well, that last question I know is a tough one, and it wasn't until rather recently that I came across a scriptural answer. I have always believed that if a woman is raped and had absolutely no part in it whatsoever, not the slightest cooperation or desire on her part, that in God's sight, that woman is still a virgin. But I really couldn't back that up with the scriptures, and I know that there are plenty of people out there that are going to be firing shots at me if I just start giving opinions on very difficult questions that I really don't know anything about. So let me give you Deuteronomy 22, verse 20. It says, speaking of the elders taking a man and punishing him if he has given a bad name to a virgin of Israel, and she is to go ahead and be his wife, he is not free to divorce her all his life long. If, on the other hand, the accusation is true, and no proof of the girl's virginity is found, then they shall bring her out to the door of her father's house, and the men of the town shall stone her to death. Now, this is in the case where the girl has not cried out, where she could have, and has been raped. In other words, she has cooperated in some small measure. She has committed an outrage in Israel by playing the prostitute in her father's house. You shall rid yourselves of this wickedness. But when a virgin is pledged in marriage to a man, and another man comes upon her in the town and lies with her, you shall bring both of them out to the gate of that town and stone them to death. The girl, because although in the town she did not cry for help, and the man, because he dishonored another man's wife, you shall rid yourselves of this wickedness. If, this is verse 25 now, Deuteronomy 22, if the man comes upon such a girl in the country and rapes her, then the man alone shall die because he lay with her. You shall do nothing to the girl. She has done nothing worthy of death. This deed is like that of a man who attacks another and murders him. For the man came upon her in the country, and though the girl cried for help, there was no one to rescue her. This is not a direct answer to the question as to whether a girl is still a virgin in God's sight if she's been raped, but at least it shows that the penalty is not the same. She was not regarded as the same kind of a sinner as if she had cooperated with the rapist. So only if you've been raped, only you and God, and presumably the rapist, know whether there was any cooperation at all on your part. So I've started with the last question here, and I just wanted to get that one out of the way. I do not think that in God's sight you have in any way spoiled yourself, given away your virginity. Having said that, now let me hasten to add, if you have given your virginity away to the wrong person, if you have been sexually promiscuous with premarital sex or adultery or any other kind of sexual sin, remember that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now let me go back to that question about the pain caused by a spouse's earlier promiscuity. I have a letter here from a lady who said that she has hesitated to write to me about this situation, but she is almost at the breaking point, and she hopes that my advice may be of some help. Would you mind hearing my heart? And she tells me that even though she had been greatly tempted at times, God allowed her to remain a virgin through high school, college, and 3 years of teaching as a singles adult. I know God's word and chastity was very important to me. I would not date just to be dating, therefore I did not go out a whole lot. When I met so-and-so, I knew he was special, and we became engaged to be married after a few months of spending much time together and praying before the Lord. Then she goes into the background of this boyfriend, and we'll call him Bill, a very sordid background, which I won't read. And then when he was 19, he accepted Christ and did a complete turnaround. He was very open to tell this woman all about his past. Anyway, after we became engaged, he told me that he was not a virgin. I imagined that he wasn't because of his past family life, etc. It still hurt, though. I almost broke our engagement, but believed it to be God's will. I thought I would be able to work it out. He saw me cry over it, and he cried. What the Lord brought to my mind was, "He who is without sin should cast the first stone." A very good verse for any of us who is unwilling to forgive somebody for anything. We need to remember that. He who is without sin should cast the first stone. She says, "Our sex life has been fine, but emotionally I have times when I fall apart." She discussed this openly with her husband for the first few months. "Even though we have a wonderful, godly, joyful marriage, I still mourn and weep over his past sexual relationships. How do I handle this, Elizabeth? Will the hurt ever end? Should I let him know that it still hurts me? What is it really that hurts? My pride? I guess I find myself getting bitter and angry about it and wondering, what was the use of saving myself for my husband? Even though I don't watch much TV, still some commercials dealing with premarital sex bring back these thoughts." And she says, "We're a happy family, etc., but I just can't seem to get rid of this emotion over this issue. You'd think after 2 years of happy marriage and the sweetest baby, I would have forgotten." That's a very common question, and I think I understand the pain, but it goes back to that very fundamental question of forgiveness. Has God forgiven this young man for his promiscuous past? If God has forgiven him, then the wife must forgive him. In the Lord's Prayer, you remember, Jesus taught the disciples to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Now, if this young wife expects the Lord to forgive her for her sins in the same measure in which she is forgiving her husband for his past, that's not really very good, is it? That's not good enough. She must be willing to forgive him completely. Now, perhaps she really has. But the great question then is, why don't the emotions go away? Well, I think the devil really can't stand forgiveness, because forgiveness is divine. It comes only from the grace of God. He can't stand it. And so he's going to do everything he can to remind us of the things which we have determined to forget and to convince us that we really are hypocrites and that we did not mean it, we have not really forgiven this person. Oh, it's a vicious circle, isn't it? And many of you understand it, I'm sure, and perhaps some are in it right now, and I would love to do everything I can to help you to be freed from that constant self-condemnation and the condemnation of the person who has sinned against you. How do you forgive yourself? Well, you can't forgive yourself. It's only the blood of Jesus that can forgive you. What you do need to do is to accept the total, complete, and eternal cleansing of the blood of Jesus. And you must accept it for this person who is causing you such emotional pain. I said a few days ago that I was going to bring out a warning against some of these memories that are being dredged up by so many different kinds of therapy programs today. And I had a letter from a woman who had been in the New Age movement and also in TM, Transcendental Meditation. And she says that the process is for the therapist to take one back in time, eyes closed, lying down, and ask him to think of a certain age. In this process, the mind is given over to some invisible power. The light is closed out, thought is closed out, and he is told just to go back. Christians make a serious error in accepting these methods, which are of the devil. It is a far more sinister and destructive thing than Dianetics, and this woman also knows what she's talking about because she was in Dianetics. Christian fathers are made to appear evil by the suggestion, sometimes a subliminal or subconscious suggestion, that the father has abused the child when, in fact, he really hasn't. So just a word of warning. Some of these things, which are called memories, may not be memories at all. They may be works of the devil. But God is able to liberate you from that, and he is able to deliver you even from the emotions caused by unforgiveness. Forgive the person and turn your feelings over to the Lord with a willed act of surrender. And I do believe that God will hear your prayers.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.